You're tuned in to Global Beat here. We're listening to a track from a new record called Soviet Funk Volume 2, which is the most recent release from a local label called Secret Stash Records. And we're joined by Eric Foss from Secret Stash right now. Eric, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
Awesome. So this is a pretty amazing record, just out in stores now. But you guys, you and Corey, and by the way, I should mention, Corey couldn't make it. He's in a session right now, so we apologize for that. But Eric is here. And he and Corey were just back from Lima, Peru. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was a pretty incredible experience. We headed down there on the 11th of last month. And we went really with two objectives. One was to license old Afro-Peruvian and Chicha music. And the other was to record with local musicians while we were down there. And we did a lot of both. So We're pretty excited to take, you know, what we got from that trip and make some records out of it and keep on doing what we do with that content.
I saw, just in terms of your seeking out old records when you're down there, you posted a YouTube video on your website of your travels to a record store in Lima. That looked pretty fantastic to be able to get to that store just to begin with, just to get there.
And that was definitely, for me personally, that was a highlight of the trip. One of the coolest things I've probably ever done. We met with the biggest record label down there called YEMSA, and we met a sales guy who worked for YEMSA in the office. And all this is done through a translator we brought with us, or an interpreter, because I don't speak a lick of Spanish. So our friend Unai, who's there translating, tells him, you know, Eric really wants to go buy some old vinyl LPs. And the guy's like, oh, well, there's really only one place in town, but you guys can't go there. And as he's saying that in Spanish, to me, it, you know, it's like gibberish. As he's saying that, everyone in the office starts laughing, and they're like laughing and
laughing.
Yeah, well, you guys can't go there. You guys can't go down there. And they're laughing. Well, I'm standing there with like two cameras hanging off of me and a laptop computer and all this expensive equipment for the recording, and we also videotaped everything in HD, so we hope to do a documentary piece as well about the trip.
Great.
But anyhow, they're all laughing because he's talking about how we can't go down there because it's such a rough part of town, and I don't know why everyone's laughing at me, you know what I mean? So he says, all right, I'll tell you what, you leave all this stuff behind and you promise me you'll never go down there by yourselves, and I'll take you there and we'll go shopping for some records. So we walk out on the corner. We leave everything behind except for one small camera that he makes me like put in a plastic bag and kind of hide under my shirt as much as possible. And we go down to the corner, and he gets us on a bus and pays for our bus fare, and away we go into central Lima. And it was a pretty bad part of town. And, you know, they say in that type of scenario, being a white tourist from the States can be a little dangerous, but if you have, you know, if you have someone that's with you,
right,
it's all right. You know, I didn't really feel unsafe, but I could definitely recognize that it wasn't a very good part of town. We get there, and it's not really like a record store at all. It was nothing like I expected. It was a giant garage, old, rundown, filthy, dirty garage, full of LPs and 45s. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of records in this place. But again, it wasn't like a store. There was like half a dozen vendors set up just, you know, wheeling and dealing these things. And he kind of took us straight to the back. We went up like this big flight of concrete stairs and met his friend who was a vendor there. And we spent, I think it was about 3 hours there just digging through these records. And again, to have gone there by myself, if I had been lucky enough to not get stabbed, I'd have gotten there and I wouldn't... Then what do I do? You know what I mean? How do I find these records and that?
Right.
But since I had our friend Unai was with, and he was, you know, translating on my behalf, and we had the biggest record salesman in Peru with us who had, you know, knew the music so well, and he was friends with the guy. They were like my musical guide for that 3 hours. And I told him, you know, I'm looking for Afro-Peruvian records. Right. What do you got? And they just start digging, and they're like handpicking the best stuff for me. So quite an incredible experience. It was a lot of fun. And then we kind of had to do that because, you know, we wanted to license this old material. Well, the label we met with didn't really have, like, CDs or digital files of everything. and they hadn't reissued everything yet. So the only way to get this old stuff was to find the old LPs with that label's, you know, brand on it, and then, you know, get back in touch with them. So
right, right.
It was actually really important, aside from it just being a really cool experience, it was really important that we went out and bought all those records.
Well, just in terms of all the hoops you had to jump through and everything and the potential danger, just looking at the stack of records you brought in today, it's quite phenomenal what you found. I mean, these are records you just, if you went to, you know, Cheapo Basement or Jaime's record store, you would never see these in a million years. They just don't make it up here, so it's really quite remarkable what you've dug up.
Yeah, they don't make it up here, and everyone we talked to, like this salesman and the guy who was selling the records in this garage, they were like blown away. I was like, yeah, Chicha Records? He's like, Chicha? Cumbia? Peruana Cumbia? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And he's like, it just blew his mind that someone from Minnesota was asking about Chicha Records. Like, I have a friend from Peru up here, and I was like, yeah, man, I'm getting into these Chicha Records. He's like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, I didn't think anyone up here had even heard of that, so...
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Well, we have some of these records queued up, so let's check some of them out right now.
Cool, man.
All right.
Programming on KFAI is supported in part by the Great River Energy Mesabi Trail Tour 2010 on Saturday, August 7th. The Great River Energy Mesabi Trail Tour is a day-long biking event for families and serious trail riders alike. three starting points at Giants Ridge Golf and Ski Resort near Biwabik, Virginia, and Buell allow riders to customize their routes from 12 to 50 miles. The event culminates with the picnic and concert at Hibbing Bennett Park. The ride supports the Mesabi Trail and the programming on KFAI and the rest of the Amper stations providing diverse radio for Minnesota communities. More information available at mesabitrail.com. The tour is supported in part by UCARE. For 25 years, UCARE has helped low-income Minnesotans across the state with health coverage, a large provider network, and health programs such as infant car seats and education for expectant parents. More information at ucare.org.
Check out Bobby.
Right here.
You know him as Uncle B.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the dude can jam. He told me he was working for the 2010 census. Yep. He said a lot of Natives are working in their community is going door-to-door to make sure all American Indians and Alaska Natives are counted. He told me the 2010 census and an accurate count of who we are can affect what resources our communities get.
Put it up!
Man, that dude can jam.
2010 Census. It's in our hands. Visit 2010census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
Ritmos negros del Perú, bailes, canciones danzarias y cantos de trabajo.
Se va calentando, se va calentando. ¡Vamos!
andaba con uno que andaba con otro, que andaba con uno que andaba con otro. Deja usted,
que la lleve Dios.
Déjala 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 usted,
que la lleve Dios.
Le sacó la tripa y la lleva a vender. Le sacó la tripa y la lleva a vender. Déjala usted,
que la lleve Dios.
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 Esa negrita que no se peina. Esa negrita. Que no se peina, de
que la lleve Dios,
que
la
usted,
que la lleve Dios,
que la usted,
que la lleve Dios.
Global Beats. We're here with Eric Foss from Secret Stash Records, just back from Lima, Peru. And just to jog your memory, I'll read off some of the tracks we just played, Eric. We started off with Enrique Lynch and a track called African Bump.
Yeah, that.
What was that?
Well,
that was
like we were talking, about just a minute ago, that the whole time I was down there, everyone I found, I was asking, "Do you have any funk records? Do you have any funk records? Funk." James Brown? No funk. Well, it turns out that, like, there is some funk down there. They just don't know it's funk. Like, they're calling it something else or don't right. really know, you know, it's what's a name, you know what I mean? So that was an example of, I was just buying up these records, and I was actually asking for Chicha records, and he handed me this Enrique Lynch record, and we listened to a cut off it, and I'm like, yeah, it's like, a little bit Chicha, you know, Chicha's such a mix of things, but like that track was just, if you ask me, that's just straight funk. Like, it doesn't get a lot funkier than that. So yeah, that track was a pleasant surprise to have stumbled upon.
That was pretty awesome. And then we went into Los Mirlos, who are a group. I actually played a cut from them last week. It was from a compilation called, I don't know, some Peru, Back to Peru, Best of Peruvian Underground, 69 to 73. Most of the stuff on that compilation was kind of a Peruvian version of rock music, but this one track by Los Mirlos was full on Chicha.
When we started looking into making the trek down to Lima to do this sort of thing, in all my research, I was finding people had been putting out, you know, Peruvian records up here, but it was a lot of rock and pop and stuff, and
right?
Not stuff that was like truly Peruvian, you know, to its roots. And I'd say that Chicha is very South American, at least. It's basically just the Peruvian cumbia is what, if you
right,
ask a Peruvian
exactly.
about it, you're like, Chicha? And they're like, oh yeah, cumbia. But to our ears, we're like, yeah, it's kind of a cumbia, but there's so much more going on. You got like these kind of funky elements and these weird like psychedelic, and sometimes it's got like surf guitar in it.
Yeah, it seems like a level even wilder than cumbia is.
Totally.
It's great. And then we rounded off the set with a track from Nicomedes.
Nicomedes Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz.
He's kind of like an icon. He is. There's a handful of these guys, and eventually it turned out to be like families. Like their offspring kept it going. Nicomedes Santa Cruz is one of the most important people in the Afro-Peruvian revival scene. And during the 50s and 60s, he played a huge role in bringing that kind of back. It's a really weird history that that music has had. We spent some time with some people doing interviews for the documentary piece while we were down there. And people talking to us about, you assume that this is what the Afro-Peruvians, the black slaves in Peru, were doing, you know, 100 plus years ago. But we don't really know that. Like, it really, like, it died and it came back in, like, the 50s in El Carmen down in Chincha. And actually, the song that's playing in the background right now is called Chincha. It's by a guy named Andres Prado, who lived in St. Paul for a while, and I think was actually a big reason that we ended up making this trip, because Corey knows Andres and kind of introduced Corey to this music. Right. But this song is kind of, I think, Andres's tribute to Chincha, the area that really started the Afro-Peruvian revival.
Very nice.
And that song that we listened to was a killer example of a festejo, one of the one of the most popular styles of Afro-Peruvian music.
Right.
So,
very nice. Well, this right now we're listening to this track that was just recorded with Andres.
Andres Prado, yeah.
Prado down in Lima. And we're going to hear a couple more tracks, brand new music from Lima, Peru, courtesy of Eric and Secret Stash Records.
So. Yep, this one you're hearing we recorded while we were down there, and we'll cue up some more of that.
Very nice. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Programming on KFAI is supported by Brasa Rotisserie, featuring made-from-scratch comfort food with local, organic, and all-natural ingredients, and cooking inspired by the Creole traditions of the United States, Caribbean, and South America. Now with two locations, 777 Grand Avenue in St. Paul and 600 East Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis. Brasa Rotisserie offers dine-in, takeout, and catering options. More information is available on the web at brasa.us.
Tuned into KFAI and Global Beat, and we're here with Eric Foss from Secret Stash Records, just back from Lima, Peru, and we just heard a series of tracks just cut down in Lima with some Peruvian musicians and also Corey Wong from Minneapolis.
Yeah, Corey sat in on a lot of the sessions. He learned the style from Andreas, who we just spoken about a couple minutes ago. When Andreas was up here in St. Paul. And I think that's pretty much what sparked all of this for us. Corey you know, hey, look what I learned from this guy, and check out these CDs. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. So between the two of us, we're like, we should really go down there and find more of it, because it doesn't exist up here. You know what I mean? Like, right. in Peru, some of these like older tracks we're playing, these people are legends. Like, they can't walk down the street without being recognized. And up here, no one even knows who they are.
Right.
So, yeah, that was all stuff we recorded down there. We were down there for a week, basically brought like a record, like a portable recording studio with us, and we went down there without any appointments set up. We didn't have any recording sessions or anything set up, and within one day of banging the phones, our buddy Unai that was with, he's the bilingual one, happens to be like the most charming guy ever, and it wouldn't have gone down without him, for sure. He was on the phone with everyone, just setting stuff up, and for 7 days, we just crisscrossed Lima, just running back and forth, recording musicians in wherever we could get them. If it was in their house, or at the hostel that we stayed in, or we recorded someone in a college, we recorded someone in a theater, like, you know, wherever we could get them.
That's great.
Wherever they were, we'd go to meet them, and we had a couple suitcases on wheels and just rolled it in and set everything up. And it was quite an experience. And so that's, you just heard some rough mixes from that stuff.
Yeah, we were talking off mic about the vocalist on those last two tracks, and it hit me that the timbre of her voice really, and I can't name the person who she reminds me of, but it definitely reminds me of at least one or two Brazilian vocalists. And you mentioned that singer is actually from Argentina.
She is. Something really incredible that happened while we were down there that we just could have never expected, ever expected this. We were running into people in Lima playing Afro-Peruvian music as a career who weren't Peruvian. We met a guy, we recorded a guitar player who is a white guy from New York who like goes down there all the time. Like he almost lives down there. He just plays and records down there, and he's just all about this Afro-Peruvian music. And she was from Argentina. We met a bassist who was born in Peru, moved to New York, and then while he's in New York, all of a sudden, somehow while he was up there, he realized how much he missed Afro-Peruvian music. He went to New York to study like American jazz. Like, I want to play, you know, like Charles Mingus. And then found himself just wanting to play Afro-Peruvian music. Once he left, he said he kind of took it for granted. He realized that. And now all of a sudden he's back down there playing this stuff, you know, regularly. I believe he still lives in New York, but he was down there doing that. So,
well, now there is it Chicha Libre? Is that the group? There's somebody in New York who put out a Best of Chicha record and also is playing it. I don't know if it's the same guy that you met down there. It sounds like the same scenario.
It's not the same guy. I am familiar with that stuff.
Yeah.
And those guys, I don't know if they own like a restaurant or a bar or something in New York that has the same name as the label. I'm not 100% sure of all the details, but I am familiar with it. And the Chicha thing, I think the Chicha thing is actually a little more popular here than the Afro-Peruvian thing. For whatever that's worth, I still think it's a very, I don't know, niche thing or underground thing. But I do think you see a little bit more of the Chicha type stuff up here than the Afro-Peruvian.
Right, so that could be. Yeah, the Chicha stuff has just kind of that propulsive rhythm that's familiar to people who like salsa or, you know, cumbia from Colombia. So
definitely, there's something really, I don't want to say odd or strange, but there's something real different to the American ear listening to a lot of the Afro-Peruvian stuff. I actually, while we were down there, we recorded a duo, a cajon player. That's like the box drum that you sit on. And a guitar/vocalist. And I got to talking to the cajon player, and turns out he builds cajons. So he built a cajon for me, showed me a few things about the cajon down there. I came up here, and so far I've taken like one cajon lesson since I've been back. And it was really hard because I am a drummer, but I grew up playing like American rock music. Like everything is in 4/4 time, and it's real rigid. And the way I kept describing it to my teacher was that everything is kind of like boxy, and it just fits in these boxes, and you can just chop up the boxes different ways. And he's teaching me the festejo, and it took a minute to sink in, and he was just laughing. He's like, it's the Peruvian 6/8 time. You can't even, like, try to comprehend it with your American ears. Like, you just need to put all that aside. You're trying to, like, figure it out too much. And the Peruvian 6-8 has such a different feel to it that it's just really difficult to get a grasp of. But yeah. I think, like you said, the chicha has a feel that is a little familiar to us, and we can get down with it a lot easier. But that some of that Afro-Peruvian stuff just feels, I guess, for lack of a better term, real foreign.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
but not inaccessible. You know, I think once people get exposed to it, I think it can, you know, be something that be very enjoyable.
Yeah, we hope so. I mean, we're nothing special, you know what I mean? And we heard it and we went head over heels for it.
Yeah.
So I don't know why any other, you know, lovers of music and different styles of music wouldn't as well. So.
Well, I'll tell you, you've really whetted my appetite to hear more of this fantastic music. And do you have kind of an ETA as to when records might start appearing in stores with some of the tracks you recorded down there?
Honestly, it's probably a little too early to tell.
Yeah.
It'll probably be a couple months yet, but, you know, secret-records.com. Just go ahead and keep an eye on that. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. YouTube's actually really good for this stuff right now if you want to follow what we're doing with the Peruvian stuff, because we've just been chopping up like 4-minute videos from our trip and throwing them up there. Again, it's all in HD, so it looks pretty good. The sound on most of it's pretty good. If you want to learn more and just kind of keep a little eye on what we're doing with this stuff, YouTube, I would say, is the best. Facebook and secret-records.com.
That's great. Eric Foss of Secret-Records, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
Global Beat, thanks.